with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. Hello, I'm Marnie Roper. Accessibility is increasingly accepted as a basic responsibility of both the public and private sectors. Inclusion is, after all, a basic human right. The City of Sydney is certainly no exception. It has been at the forefront of new initiatives for the past two decades, not only for residents of the Greater Sydney area, but also for the influx of visitors. Anna Rigg, Manager of Social Policy for the City of Sydney, joins AbleQuest to discuss some of their useful projects, including their online access map. Barbara Sullivan began by asking Anna what she thinks makes a city inclusive.
I think an inclusive city is one where everyone feels welcome and everyone can participate in whatever it is they want to do with independence and dignity. So that's very broad, but I think what that means for us is people can get around our city, they can use our services like our libraries and community centres and customer service centre, they can attend events, they can go out for a meal and a drink with friends and family, and they can have their say on matters that affect them. I think it's an important part of our policy. Well, put simply, inclusion is a human right, and the evidence shows us that inclusion and participation in all aspects of life is better for everyone. We know that inclusion can reduce disadvantage, isolation and discrimination, and that leads to better health and wellbeing outcomes for people with disability. But it's also better for the whole community when we have more diverse voices and experiences at the table, and we become stronger, more resilient, richer because of that. We know our residents value diversity, so we want to make sure that people with disability are at the table in terms of the mix of all the voices and perspectives on what's going on.
Now, covering so much as you do, you have to plan for this. And
yes,
last year you had your five-year Inclusion Disability Action Plan. How do you develop those plans? Do you reach out for advice?
Well, yeah, we see each disability action plan as a leg in the journey to inclusion. So to develop the plan, we think about what we've done in the last one, what worked well, what didn't work well, more importantly, and then also what are the new emerging issues and opportunities. The Disability Inclusion Advisory Panel the city has also guides us into what we should be considering, and it's really about constant monitoring about issues and opportunities out there so that we can know what's coming up and what we should be doing. So a new feature in the current plan is for us to explore what we can do to make sure there are more changing places, facility, toilets in our area. We've written a few submissions to other levels of government and included that we think they should be included in major public transport buildings, for example. And what we've seen as a result of that is now that the Building Codes Board and the National Construction Code is considering that requirement in their next revision, which would be a great outcome.
Talk to us about some of the other specific things that you're doing to achieve this goal of a city for all.
Sure. Information is a personal favourite of mine. From what we've seen before in our previous plans, many good initiatives were developed, but we didn't provide enough good information about those initiatives for people to really participate. So
yes,
I think information is vital to let people know what you're doing so that they can try it out and give you feedback. But it's also important in terms of people being able to plan their journey and understand their environment. So as well as good information on our websites and that content being easy to understand, we see information as a way to help people, particularly when we can't resolve the issue of our streets being narrow and steep and things like that. What
yes,
we can do is describe the environment well so that people can plan their journey and make informed decisions. Our online access map is one example. Information's also available in terms of our tactile and braille wayfinding signage. It's at every signalised intersection, and it enables people who are blind or have low vision to confirm where they are, and it can be quite liberating from what I hear from some people to be able to do that without having to ask people or hold it to memory how many blocks you've travelled.
And that's right across the city?
The plan with that is every signalised intersection, so about 2,100 intersections where there's a traffic light and a pedestrian walk. So they're pretty much rolled out across the city now.
You've got some interesting technology that you've put on from time to time. The parallel parks I was quite interested in.
So we have a team of people who work in our libraries designing and delivering programs and learning opportunities for our community, and they've been really great at identifying innovative opportunities to partner with other organisations to deliver inclusive programming. So parallel parks was something that the New South Wales National Parks developed, and it enables people who aren't able to get around the national park to experience them using virtual reality goggles. So it's really, really fun. Libraries team hosted the event down at our Customs House Library, and so people of all walks of life were able to experience nature who may not have been able to do that before.
This is your fourth such action plan.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back, do you think society's demands on the city are becoming greater and that more is expected of you?
Yep, I think there is greater demand for organisations, governments and businesses to be more inclusive, but I actually think that's a good thing. It's a good thing because I see that there's been this real shift in the last few years in disability awareness, and it's probably because many governments are now required to develop action plans. But lots of different agencies and people are thinking about how they can break down barriers faced by people with disability. This groundswell of awareness and goodwill in the community means that many more people are making disability inclusion part of their core business. We've got more people who are on the same page wanting to collaborate and work together and come up with more innovative solutions. And I think that people with disability rightly demand to be included.
Of course, more people with disabilities are travelling now because it's easier for them to do that. So
that's
what
right.
Do you think tourists with disabilities coming to Sydney would say about how easy it is to explore and enjoy?
I often think about tourists of all walks of life and wonder, all those people hopping off the cruise ships at Circular Quay and wanting to explore the city, how they get around and find out what to do. It's not the easiest city to navigate and get around. It's harder for tourists, and if you have any mobility issues, that can be really hard. So that's one of the main reasons we developed our online access map. We know the tourist, I rely on good information and I use Google Maps heavily, but our inclusion advisory panel told us that they need more information about the environment out there. They really impressed on us that it's not about people's disabilities. It's about the environment and how that environment may be disabling to the individual. So
yes.
We designed our map so that it describes features of the environment and allows people to select which features they want to know about based on their own needs. They don't need to tell us what type of disability they have. That's irrelevant.
Yes, tell us about the map.
What we've done is it's central Sydney, so from the Botanic Gardens down to about Haymarket and then Darling Harbour on the western side. It shows that area and it includes where key access supports like mobility parking spaces or accessible public toilets are. And it also identifies where barriers might be. So some of those barriers are steep or moderate inclines, stairs and other things like that. They're plotted on a map and we're working on updating it, which is underway. So we'll expand it to cover the whole local government area, and we're including information about lifts, where they are in public spaces. And also in terms of the stairs, we've engaged an organisation called Briometric. And they sent out a bunch of people in wheelchairs to survey the whole local area and photograph every set of stairs in public spaces.
And there'd be a few.
There's about 500 or so we've discovered. But what that then enables us to do is on that map, we can put a bit more information about the stairs. So we can say how many stairs they are. And why that's important is our panel have told us some people can manage a few stairs. So if they know it's only a couple, they will go that way if it's the more direct route. Other people, that may not be the case, but that information will give the people a bit more flexibility in terms of how they plan. And so we'll be able to have little pop-out pictures so people can
Phenomenal.
Get a sense of the stairs, as well as some words to describe there are this many stairs and it has a handrail and TGSI, for example. We welcome anyone's feedback on what should be included or what's missing.
Anna, do you find businesses in the City of Sydney make a good effort to help people with disabilities shop, dine, whatever? Do you advise them on how to do this better?
Well, what we know is that businesses are quite open to understanding what they can do to be more inclusive, but what they need is more information on how to do that. With the Invictus Games coming up, we thought it'd be a good time to put together some tips for business on easy ways they can be more inclusive in preparation for the Games and then link them to a whole lot of resources about what they can do over the longer term. So we've got some top tips for businesses to be Invictus ready, as we called it.
Right.
And we've just published them on our City of Sydney news site, and an email went out yesterday to all our subscribers. So some of the tips are, remember communication comes in many forms, be aware that many disabilities are invisible, respect wheelchairs and service animals such as guide dogs. Don't assume anything. Always ask the person how they'd like to be helped or if they need help, and include accessibility and awareness training.
Yes, well, the Invictus Games would be very exciting, I imagine, and but it does take a huge effort on your part to put the city on show, if you like, from an accessibility point of view. You've talked about some of the steps you've done to prepare for this. Is there anything else that you've had to do?
Most of the activities out in Homebush. There's only a couple of key events in the city. So our focus has been on when people who are visiting or participating in the Games on their R&R, how they're going to get about and enjoy themselves. So as well as the tips for business, we've also put together a brief article with the links to the access maps and other inclusive and accessible things to do in the city so that they can enjoy themselves here.
And to talk about Homebush, does the City of Sydney work with other Greater Sydney Area Councils on accessibility?
Given most councils now have to have a disability action plan, there's much more collaboration at that level between those staff and officer level people coordinating that work. We've been talking to a lot of neighbouring councils, and because it's our fourth plan and we've tried a few things and have a few wins under our belt, we're really conscious to share our knowledge and experience and also make sure they don't have to reinvent the wheel if it's not necessary. So, for example, with the tactile and braille street signage, we've published the design specifications for any other government agency to use. That way, we spent quite a lot of time designing those, working with people from Vision Australia and Guide Dogs New South Wales to test it and refine how the information's presented so that it makes sense. So we felt it was a good social responsibility thing to do to share that with other councils so that they can implement that without having to spend the money and time going through the design process. They can just use it, construct it and maintain it.
That's a wonderful example, actually, of cooperation. We've talked about your website a little bit, but I have to say it is very impressive regarding accessibility, the way that you communicate. You have easy-to-read versions of documents, audio versions of certain things, and it's very impressive. Anna, it's been a delight having you on AbleQuest, and I commend you on everything that you're doing.
Thank you, and thank you for all your listeners, and we really rely on the community and people with disability to guide us in our work.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening and goodbye till next program.